Chapter 10. Another fortnight passed. Ivan Ilyich now no longer left his sofa. He would not lie in bed but lay on the sofa, facing the wall nearly all the time. He suffered ever the same unceasing agonies, and in his loneliness pondered always on the same insoluble question, "What is this? Can it be that it is death?" And the inner voice answered, "Yes, it is death. Why these sufferings?" And the voice answered, "For no reason, they just are so. Beyond and besides this there was nothing." From the very beginning of his illness, ever since he had first been to see the doctor, Ivan Ilyich's life had been divided between two contrary and alternating moods. Now it was despair and the expectation of this uncomprehended and terrible death, and now hope and an intently interested observation of the functioning of his organs. Now before his eyes there was only a kidney or an intestine that temporarily evaded its duty, and now only that incomprehensible and dreadful death, from which it was impossible to escape. These two states of mind had alternated from the very beginning of his illness, but the further it progressed the more doubtful and fantastic became the conception of the kidney, and the more real the sense of impending death. He had but to call to mind what he had been 3 months before and what he was now, to call to mind with what regularity he had been going downhill, for every possibility of hope to be shattered. Latterly, during the loneliness in which he found himself, as he lay facing the back of the sofa, a loneliness in the midst of a populous town and surrounded by numerous acquaintances and relations, but that yet could not have been more complete anywhere, either at the bottom of the sea or under the earth, during that terrible loneliness Ivan Ilyich had lived only in memories of the past. Pictures of his past rose before him one after another. They always began with what was nearest in time, and then went back to what was most remote, to his childhood, and rested there. If he thought of the stewed prunes that had been offered him that day, his mind went back to the raw shriveled French plums of his childhood, their peculiar flavor and the flow of saliva when he sucked their stones, and along with the memory of that taste came a whole series of memories of those days, his nurse, his brother, and their toys. "No, I mustn't think of that, it is too painful," Ivan Ilyich said to himself, and brought himself back to the present, to the button on the back of the sofa and the creases in its morocco. Morocco is expensive, but it does not wear well, there had been a quarrel about it. It was a different kind of quarrel and a different kind of morocco that time, when we tore father's portfolio and were punished, and mama brought us some tarts, and again his thoughts dwelt on his childhood, and again it was painful and he tried to banish them, and fix his mind on something else. Then again together with that chain of memories another series passed through his mind, of how his illness had progressed and grown worse. There also the further back he looked the more life there had been. There had been more, of what was good in life and more of life itself. The two merged together. Just as the pain went on getting worse and worse, so my life grew worse and worse, he thought. There is one bright spot there at the back, at the beginning of life. And afterwards all becomes blacker and blacker and proceeds more and more rapidly, in inverse ration to the square of the distance from death, thought Ivan Ilyich. And the example of a stone falling downwards with increasing velocity entered his mind. Life, a series of increasing sufferings, flies further and further towards its end, the most terrible suffering. "I am flying," he shuddered, shifted himself, and tried to resist, but was already aware that resistance was impossible, and again with eyes weary of gazing but unable to cease seeing what was before them, he stared at the back of the sofa and waited, awaiting that dreadful fall and shock and destruction. "Resistance is impossible," he said to himself. "If I could only understand what it is all for. But that too is impossible. An explanation would be possible, if it could be said that I have not lived as I ought to. But it is impossible to say that," and he remembered all the legality, correctitude, and propriety of his life. "That at any rate can certainly not be admitted," he thought, and his lips smiled ironically as, if someone could see that smile and be taken in by it. "There is no explanation. Agony, death, what for?"